been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, it's the postseason for four teams right now, but it is the offseason for the Baltimore Ravens. They did not make it past the Cincinnati Bengals just a few weeks ago. Joining me, as always, to talk all about the end of the Baltimore Ravens season and the beginning of the Ravens offseason, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Recovering from the out of the playoffs. Man, they should have won that game. They had the game. Another nightmare ending for this team. So close yet so far. Big mistake. Obviously, it's one under the bridge now because obviously we already knew the Bengals are in a rematch with the Kansas City Chiefs in an AFC title game. So, dude, Bengals are a problem. But we covered it for the last 2 weeks, right? The Ravens in the final game of regular season, if it wasn't for the turnovers, had them. Again, turnovers did them in. What a disappointing end to which has been an up-and-down year, man. I mean, you know, with some crazy losses, some crazy wins, you know, up and down. They had a four-game win streak at one point with another Lamar Jackson injury, obviously, with all that drama, you know, with a backup quarterback playing. They gave the Bengals a street fight. And, I feel good about heading into this offseason, especially after the aftermath of last week. Now, what happened last Thursday, you know, in the presser and in the news that preceded it. So we'll certainly get right into it, but certainly a disappointing end. What say you? Obviously, your final score was nowhere close, but obviously you were right. you predicted the Bengals would beat the Ravens and be victorious, but you're like 31-10. I'm like, no way. But another close game, 24-17, they fell. Dude, it just was so tough to see, man. It was just so deflating when the ball ended up going the other way. And there's a lot to talk about in that. And, you know, what could have been called, a lot of knee-jerk reactions and aftermath after that game, that ripple effects, because obviously there was some news, you know, heading into the offseason that was very swift. And I think a lot of fans were more than less happy, including myself, about the aftermath of the season. But tough way to go out, one and done for the Ravens. But as we argue with Steeler fans were like, you're not too far behind us. But I'm like, look, at least we made it, because I checked on the schedule. Where's the Steelers playoff game? Because the last Steeler fans were still, you know, giving some Ravens some problems with some, you know, fanfare and saying, hey, you're not going to go far. I'm like, look, we might not, but we made it. In 2022, the Ravens were a playoff team, whether you like it or not, and the Steelers weren't. So, but hey, you know, they had a chance. They had them on the ropes. Didn't get it done, man. What say you, brother?
You know, I was actually, like, pleasantly surprised by this game. Like I said, I thought it was going to be a complete, like, disaster of a game. But props to Tyler Huntley, Snoop Huntley. He came out, and that dude balled. That was probably the best game we've seen from Tyler Huntley in his entire NFL career. I was so incredibly impressed with how he played the majority of this game. Now, of course, you know, that QB sneak in the red zone where everything kind of fell apart. I wish they could take that back. But Tyler Huntley, for the most part, he looked like an NFL QB in this game. And I was so incredibly impressed. Like, I was so down in the dumps when we recorded 2 weeks ago. I'm watching this game and I'm like, is this team going to pull this off? I really think they might pull this off. Like, this might actually be a thing. So, I mean, I was upset that it ended the way it did, but for our last game, the Ravens at least stayed in it. I mean, Buffalo Bills, the Bengals completely ran over the Bills this past weekend. So the Ravens put up a fight. This Ravens team is going to come back hungry, But now we have the offseason to talk about all the money and the moves and everything that kind of overshadowed this season now. They're going to be at the forefront, which they kind of have been at the forefront this entire year so far. But I want to ask you about something that happened on the sidelines of that game. It's announced as the game starts, Lamar Jackson did not travel with the team. He did a week beforehand in the last regular season game. What are your thoughts on him not going with the team? Because there's a lot of fans that are ticked off about it. I kind of think it's a little hypocritical that he was not there. Now, I don't know. It could have been, you know, the injury he had, that doctors could have advised him not to fly. They could have said, like, if you go to that certain altitude or whatever, it could make your knee even more swollen. And they're thinking, if we win this game, we're going to need Lamar the next week. So maybe that could be it. But for him to put out, like, a tweet and an Instagram post saying, I want nothing more than to be with my guys and to be out on the field, and then not to be at that game? It's a little hypocritical, unless there's like a medical reason why he wasn't there. So what were your thoughts when you heard he wasn't there? Have they changed since the days after? Like, what's going through your head right now?
Yeah, my initial reaction has changed because of some information that came out. Yeah, I was a little like puzzled and a little bit like disappointed, right? Like, really, like, you already have the speculation of the contract and with the injury, and then you don't show up with your team on a playoff game on the road against your division opponent. Like, I'm like, all right, that's telling. But apparently the report was Lamar was sick on top of the injury, and that's basically what I heard was the main reason that he didn't travel with the team. And that's why kind of my stance has changed. And then, like, even more so, you know what, at that point, it didn't really – I don't want to feed into the drama, but at that point I kind of was just like, I could care less. Like, my boys were talking about it, like, before the game, we were talking about it on group chat, and I was just like, I don't really care. And I wanted to get my point across off as, you know, I don't really care is, like, there's a playoff game. Lamar's not a part of it because he's hurt. I don't care if he traveled with the team or not. Let's talk about the players that are playing tonight. Like, Huntley's playing. Like, you know, these guys are playing. Like, enough about Lamar. I mean, we could talk about him the all season all we want, but, and that's kind of like the stance I took was like, look, I get he's not there, but I'm like, whether he is or isn't, what are y'all getting bent out of shape about? Like, it was just like, there's a playoff game. Yeah, it sucks he's not there. It's disappointing. We could talk about that another time, but right now let's root hard and root for this team. And it was kind of like a shadow on everything. Like, I'm trying to get hyped for a playoff game, and y'all want to talk about, like, he's not there, man. Oh, my God. That's a bad example. I'm like, you can choose to participate in that. I was trying to get excited for the game. But, yeah, I mean, I was certainly disappointed, again, when I heard he was sick. I'm like, okay, he was sick. But who are we? Like, do we really know if he was or not? That's the report that came out. I don't really know. You can certainly – you're not wrong if you still want to stay mad and disappointed that he's not there. I'm choosing this, like, hey, if he was sick – whatever. Like, I'm glad that he, you know, not that, you know, who knows if we'd have won and there was more to it, but, you know, if you're sick, it's just like the old work thing. If you're sick, stay home. So, you know, if that's the report it was, you know, I guess I'm taking the stance of, I'm not questioning if he was sick, he's sick. I mean, unless we have proof that he wasn't, you know, I'm Brandon, we're going to see a doctor's note. Probably not, but that's what I heard. And that's, I'm choosing to handle it that way. Like, hey, if he's sick, okay, I understand that. But still disappointed, but I understand it. I'm not personally going to make it a big deal on my end. But, you know, I can see your point of that, you know, you're certainly disappointed, right? You know, the leader of the team in this whole drama, and you don't travel with the team, that sets a big, big red flag and a precedent for obviously a lot of people to start talking about it. So it's definitely not a good look, but, you know, look, Now that they're one and done and they're out of it, who gives a crap? Like, now it doesn't really matter, right? But it certainly, I hope, with all that being said, I hope that whether himself and or the team maybe addresses it in the future. Who knows? Maybe it's just water on the bridge and we forget about it. Maybe, maybe not. But maybe an official statement will come out, you know. But, and you know what? And I can't read, and someone asked, where'd you hear that? I actually don't know, man. I don't even, if you heard the whole sickness thing, but I just heard it online. I don't know if it was a Raven source. I can't even remember. I just remember reading it and seeing it. I was like, oh, that's why he didn't show up. Okay. Like, well, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, I think that's the thing that kind of bugs me the most is the fact that, like, I wanna know what's going on, because when I hear that the QB1 says, oh, you know, I want to be out there with my boys. I there's nothing more that I want is to be out there on the field. I believe him, because I do believe that Lamar absolutely loves this game. However, for him not to fly out and not to say like anything online, because I know he's a private person, I understand that, but to not like calm the fan base down almost a little bit and be like, I want to be out there with my boys, but I'm not feeling well. I was advised not to fly. I'll still be rooting for them, you know, at home or something like that. Just something like that would have been nice. I understand it's none of my business because he's a private guy, so he doesn't have to give me any sort of reasoning of why he wasn't there. But because of all the drama with this season, because of this stupid contract, because of all of that, the first thing you think of is, oh, this guy's holding out for more money. He doesn't want to be there. I don't want to think that of Lamar. I really don't, because I do think Lamar's a really good dude. I think that he's a young guy. He's talented. I don't want to think of him as somebody who, like, the fame and everything has gone to his head, because I don't think he is that type of guy. But, man, just clue in the fan base just a little bit to be like, hey, guys, I'm not going to be there tonight. That's what I would have liked to have seen. Now, like you said, if he was sick, then he was sick. Okay, he didn't have to be there. But it just, everybody was talking about it. Peter Schrager was talking about it on Twitter. Everybody in the national news was talking about it. That was even more drama we didn't need to hear about. Because like you said, there was a game going on, and a really good game going on, and a really good couple plays by the Ravens that really kept them in that game. But, you know, we'll see what happens in the next couple weeks. Because like you said, right now, it's water under the bridge. It doesn't matter anymore.
And what's even more interesting, it is water under the bridge, but what's even more interesting is I was trying to explain to folks that, you know, did you see Marcus Peters or J.K. Dobbins travel with the team during their rehabs? I don't think so. I can't remember. Like, if he was rehabbing, and I get it, it's a big problem. And, you know, I don't want to get it twisted. Like, obviously, I want Lamar there, and I want him to support the guys. And, you know, it's a pretty disappointing and telling thing when he's not there. But, like, you just mentioned, like, if he's sick, he's sick. And that's kind of the route I take. Like, if I read that or heard it, yeah. And, you know, in researching it, I still can't find out where I read that. So, I mean, if I'm wrong or if I misheard that or misinterpreted, please someone set the record straight. But, you know, it's just a pretty disappointing thing to see your leader not there in the playoff game. It's disappointing to not him, you know, rooting the guys out there for support, like Huntley and, you know, Brown. And, you know, obviously, you know what? If he chose to do it because of the contract, if he chose to do it because of his injury, he chose to do it because he wants to be like that. You know, if that's the way he wants to handle his side of the business, then the Ravens have, you know, they have the work cut out for them, because, you know, they have a big situation on their hands that, you know, you're already like sparring back and forth about this whole guaranteed money and what he's worth and what he's not worth. And if the Ravens are going to trade him, and there's stories out there that, you know, potential suitors for Lamar with free agency, and there's all these stories swirling, and like no one's setting the record straight. It's like they're allowing it to get out of hand. And until somebody gets up in front of Mike, which just happened last week, and kind of reiterates, like, this is what we're doing, here's the recommitment. And that's how I feel about it. When Eric DaCosta sits up there and it isn't just John Harbaugh, you know, which I've not become a fan of this year just because of some things that transpired in his press conferences and just how he handles some things, you know. When Eric DaCosta's up there, I don't think DaCosta's going to blow smoke. Maybe Harbaugh, but EDC, I just don't see him. I don't know him on that level, obviously, you know, professionally nor personally, but I just don't see EDC getting up there and kind of just being holier than thou and saying what we want to hear. I think what he said is the truth, and if he wants a recommitment to negotiate with Lamar, and they want Lamar here, and if Harbaugh backs that up by saying, yeah, it's a 200% chance Lamar stays here, then, hey, it's put to rest. Like, there's no speculation. Let the team negotiate, get it done, and see what happens in the offseason. Now all eyes and focus are going to be on that now that the season is over, now that, you know, some things have transpired. But, I certainly wanted to, before we completely turn a page from the season and the game, I want to talk about the game, because there are some observations that I saw, and there were some good, bad, and ugly, man. Like, you were saying you were utterly shocked at how in the game they were. Like, they get very nearly could have won that game. Right. Like, I think everybody was shocked. Like, oh, they bet the, like, when DeMarcus Robinson pulled that awful, awesome double move against Eli Apple, and they scored the touchdown, and they tied the game up at 17 late in the third. Bro, it was game one. I'm like, yo, are they really about to go toe-to-toe with them in the fourth quarter and pull this off somehow? I didn't expect a tie game, you know, entering the fourth quarter of this game. Like, I'm sure you didn't. I'm sure anybody didn't.
Right.
That was shocking. But are we really shocked, especially how the Ravens this year have played the Bengals? You mentioned, I'll start with some of the good. Obviously, for the second straight week, not only the second straight game, but for the second straight week, with backup quarterbacks, the Ravens outgained the Bengals on the ground and in the air, total yards. Brandon, do you realize that they held Joe Burrow to under 200 passing yards in a playoff game?
That's amazing.
Like, it just sucks that this offense couldn't do enough to muster. And I know they're working with some backups, and they were out Duvernay, and they were out Bateman, and I get that, right? They're pretty without – it's kind of like a similar situation last year. Like, last year they were out their two healthy running backs. Now they had them both back, and then now they're out their two healthy receivers and their starting quarterback. So you're down three of your top offensive players in this game, and they still pulled it out. Just testament to what – the commitment to the defensive side of the football, bringing Roquan in, giving him the contract deserving. The defense is built to win now. They have a championship caliber defense. You realize that? And I think that's where the frustration lies on the offensive side of the ball, because they haven't matched that. But you mentioned something about, obviously, the Bills just kind of walked right through Buffalo in Buffalo in a snowy Buffalo game in a divisional playoff game. I put it out there, I think less than 24 hours ago on social media. You know, the Ravens with Lamar, like, the Ravens played the Bengals three times this year and had a different starting quarterback each time. In the first game, they won 19-17 at home on Sunday Night Football, right?
Right. Lamar, I was played. There for that one. Great game.
We both were. Yep. It was an awesome game. Then they played the Bengals last game of the year. You know, obviously some folks sat out, like Dobbins and some starters. They held out, obviously, Marcus Peters on defense, the men to get healthy for the playoff game. They scored 16 points offensively in that game and lost by 11. They scored 19 points in the first game, won by two. Then they scored another 17 points on the wild card game and lost by seven. The reason why I bring that up is, like I said it before on social media, the Ravens with all three different quarterbacks starting for the Bengals, they outscored – their offensive output outscored what the Bills' offensive output was on Sunday in the divisional game. Bills only put up 10 points against them. So not only that, but that's a testament to what the Ravens can do in defense. But not only that, but the compliment to the offense, even with their woes and their inability to – or I want to say inability, the inconsistency with the play calling and the offensive flow, they scored more points in each game with each quarterback than Josh Allen did. So it just shows you a testament that the Ravens, I mean, they're a division opponent. We get it. We know them. But it's a testament to what they were able to do against the Bengals. And it just sucks that they weren't able to pull it out. But these games were a lot closer than that Bills-Bengals playoff game. And just how it started on that other Monday night game, you know, the Bengals were kind of just picking up where they left off when that game stopped. It was the Bengals were just moving the ball at will in Cincinnati with no snow. Pick up the Buffalo. Before you blinked, it was 14-0 Bengals over the Bills, and you're like, oh, great. And then you're sitting as Ravens fan, like, really? But we know what this team's about, man. I mean, and the fact that it means is the, you know, they put up a graphic in the Bills game in the first half, the playoff game against the Bengals, and they showed it. They were showing total yards, and they already had like 20 more total yards in the entire first half of the Bills game, playoff game, than the Ravens held them the whole game. The Ravens held them to 265 or around that number of total yards, and the Bengals already had 285, near 300 yards of total offense in the first half against the Bills in a playoff game on the road. That's a testament to how great the Ravens defense schemed against Burrow, and everybody's calling Burrow an assassin, and Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best receivers in the NFL, and that might be rightfully so, and we have to play them twice a year, and sometimes three times a year in the playoffs if that matches up the way it does, but the fact remains is, man, it just was so disappointing. You hold Burrow under 200. They only scored a second half touchdown, and it was the deciding touchdown in the second half. I mean, it was 17. It was going, I think I have to go back and look at the points, but look at it. It was 17-10 in the third quarter. The Ravens tied it up, and then it took a fourth quarter fumble return for the score. But you know, that's just some of my observations. You have to give credit to the Ravens defense. and especially the Ravens offense, because looking, if you look at that Bills playoff game as a measuring stick compared to what the Ravens were able to do, and I get it, the Ravens lost two out of three this year with the Bengals, including a playoff game in back-to-back weeks in Cincinnati. But, dude, I feel like even though the loss was deflating and that fumble return was deflating, I didn't feel like it wasn't like you predicted. Like, if we got beat 31-0 or 27-10 like they beat the Bills, it'd be like, man, we couldn't do nothing. We need Lamar. Like, we barely lost to a team of that caliber on the road in the playoffs, and Lamar Jackson and Bateman and Duvernay didn't even play. Like, imagine if those guys were healthy, or one of the three, or two of the three. Like, come on, bro. Like, we easily in probably the division round, if not maybe upsetting Kansas City. Who knows? I don't know. Getting ahead of myself, we don't know. But that's the way I look at it. I'm trying to look at it more positively, saying, like, look, I'm actually proud of the way they fought and the way they hung in there and only lost by a touchdown. It was a valiant effort with the backups. Tyre Huntley, congratulations for that effort. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll see what happens this year in the offseason with the retool. I want to say, because they're not rebuilding, they're going to retool and revamp. Let's see what happens. But this is my take about it. And I also have a few more points, but I want to stop here and just hear. I'm going to hear what say you with all that I unpacked there and what you think.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. Like, this game didn't get out of hand until that fumble return, and that's kind of like the wind was out of the sails and the Ravens were finally beat at that point. But up until that point, they stayed in as much as they could. I mean, the touchdown by J.K. Dobbins, I mean, fingertips. We know what it feels like to be on the other side of that. So to see J.K. Dobbins stretch it out and get into the end zone, that was really something to see. That was awesome. He had some choice words for the coaching staff after the game, saying, why don't I want the ball? Give me the ball. How come I don't have that many carries? Because after he made that great touchdown, he never saw the red zone again. He was never in on those carries, which made absolutely no sense. So
problem.
You gotta pound the table for me.
I had to get it out early because my table pounding rant's coming up after we're done here, because I still got a little more to say before we segue into the offseason, but go ahead. I had to throw that in.
But yeah, the defense, they were holding strong, and like you said, it is a retool. There are some people that probably will be hitting the road. Justin Houston, his contract is up. Hopefully we get to see him again as a Raven. I was really impressed with what he did. He led the team in sacks, but because you do that, you become a little bit more expensive, and who knows if the Ravens can afford that price tag. We shall see. Calais Campbell, I believe, has a year left in his contract, but this, you know, he's getting older. He's a guy that's been around for a long time. Does he want to retire? Does he want to come back? Who knows? Ben Powers, he had a really good season, but again, because he had such a good season, he may have priced himself out of the spot he was at on the offensive line, so he's another guy that could be potentially hitting the road. So it is a retool, but you know, you don't want to get into the offseason yet. But player wise the biggest question mark is Lamar Jackson and what they're going to do with his contract and what's next for him. Does he stick around? According to the press conference, DaCosta and Harbaugh both said Lamar wants to finish his career in Baltimore. He wants to be a Raven forever. They're talking about the contract right now. They were the
right
day
now,
of the press conference. Right at this very moment, I know, because I'm secretly in the castle.
He's okay. They can get together and talk.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, all of those things are going on. They've got options. They can sign him. They can put the franchise tag on him. Lamar, if they put the franchise tag on him, may not show up. Who knows? We don't know what's going to happen next. There's lots of options out there. And that's what's going. It's really funny. We're going to record this, and tomorrow he's going to be like signed to a contract, and we're going to have to throw this show out completely. That's what's going to happen. But there's a lot going on in this offseason. It is a retool. This team, this offense, was built around Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson were to leave, if he were to be traded, what does that mean for the offense? Because this was catered towards his strengths. Another thing that's kind of catered towards his strengths is that he will be a part of the offensive coordinator hiring. They're going to be asking him of who he wants to have there, because it is no longer the Roman Empire. Greg Roman, no longer the ones. He isn't one of them. He's gone. He resigned. They're saying he wasn't fired. His contract was just not brought back. So a parting of ways. So the Ravens are also on the ticket to look for a new offensive coordinator. So there is going to be a lot of new names, new changes coming here. And it's kind of interesting as well. This is one of the years for the draft. The Ravens have the least amount of draft picks. So they've got some holes to fill. Does that mean they go more for veterans? Do they not go for the rookies like we've seen in the past? Are some of the guys that were drafted last year that didn't play that much, are they going to be able to step up this year? There's a lot of questions out there. You want to go on a rant and not talk about the offseason yet, though. I'm getting a little ahead of the show, but anyway.
I love the offseason. No, keep going, man. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? This is the most fun as a podcaster.
We do what we want. No, go with it. No, yeah. There's some things, and we can put that at the end of the show. There's just some things I have that I want to get off my chest about the playoff game that left me really frustrated, but obviously praising, because obviously it leads to one Greg Roman's departure. Like, and it was kind of like what you're talking about. I want to get right into it, because you did mention JK and his choice words and him not getting carries. Like, I'm in total agreement with what he said. I'm glad he called out the coaching staff, because I've had enough. Me personally, I've had enough. Yeah. So thank you, J.K. Dobbins, for speaking up, because no one else seems like it is. And it just seems like the fans are the only ones belly aching about it. What was glaring is that you give your balls to the playmakers when the game's on the line. Like, would the Bulls not give it to Michael Jordan? Would the Lakers not give it to the great, late Kobe Bryant? Rest his soul. Think about it. One of the best closers in baseball, can I think of. Would the New York Yankees not give it to Mariano Rivera in his prime to close out the game? Or are they going to leave the relief pitchers in there? No. You put your best people in there to what? Close the game. Make plays. And that's why I get frustrated, because I'm like, they're inside the red zone. And not only that, but inside the 5-yard line. I'm like, hand it off to JK. Hand it off to Gus. What are they doing? They're calling these weird gimmicky plays, a screen pass to Ricard. I'm not discounting these guys as talent. You know, the 53-man roster is made up of playmakers and talented players for a reason. But I feel like when it's a playoff game on the road, fourth quarter, you're on the, 3-yard line, first and goal. Just keep it simple. And you want to throw these screen passes. And what I'm really, really, really mad about in that instance is Tyre Huntley's a backup quarterback, man. Like, you know, I'm not going to be all over stuff because he threw an awesome pass to DeMarcus Robinson, and Tyre Huntley's leading the Ravens in a tie football game in the fourth quarter, and he made an awesome run, Lamar-like run down the sidelines to put us in position. He barely, almost nearly scored. But the problem is the scheme and the coaching staff. And then I had arguments with friends of mine. I had to step away because I was getting really agitated, because I'm like, look, because everybody, when Tyler Huntley went up over, I'm like, really, you call it a quarterback sneak that far away, and then it gets fumbled. And then, of course, folks are like, no, Harbaugh said in the presser he was supposed to go under. And I was like, I'm going to go to my grave disagreeing. I don't care. I mean, look, we can agree, disagree amongst friends, but I'm like, look, I don't care if he was over, under, sideways, backwards. You're putting the game on the line, and Tyler Huntley is a backup quarterback. You understand Lamar Jackson's healthy. Tyler Huntley's not playing, right? Like, Tyler Huntley's not the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Why is the coaching staff calling plays to put it in the hands of Tyler? I don't care if Tyler wanted to call an audible, wanted to go over the top, or, you know, whatever, which way do you want to go to? It should have been handed off to a running back to begin with. And that's what I have a problem with. It's just like, really? It just reminded me of, like, almost like how Seahawks lost Super Bowl with not handing it to Marshawn Lynch, and they want to throw it on the 1-yard line. Like, stop.
Remember Jeez. That?
Well, that's exactly what this reminded me of. It's almost the same thing, because it was like, you're like, oh, they're going to hand the JK and Gus, and I'm like, looking, I'm like, what are they doing? Like, what is going on? And then not even that, but even fast forward halfway down the field, and I have screenshots of the steal, and it was even blatantly obvious. God bless Mark Andrews' soul. He must have had a lot of rock and protein in fueling him, because boy, did he chase that defender down. But what
he
happened?
Almost got him. He almost got him.
But what happened? He almost got him. A block in the freaking back. Like, yeah. Like that. How you missed that? And then, of course, the defender's got his arms up. Like, I didn't do it. I'm like, he would have caught you, and he got pushed. Whether it was a big shove or look, he got contacted with in the back of the jersey when he was running. The touchdown should have been called back. It should have been somewhere, wherever the penalty was. That's what I have a frustration with. And it was Greg Roman's scheme with Mark Andrews. What the heck is he doing calling a tight end running play in the middle of the field in the beginning of the game? Like, I was throwing him, obviously, when I was watching the Kansas City divisional game against the Jaguars. I was like, I don't see the Chiefs handing it off to Kelce. You actually throw to your tight end. You don't hand it off to him. Like, I don't get that. Like, there was a shovel pass touchdown earlier in the year when Lamar did it. I think it was against – I forget who game that was against. If you can remember, let me know. But it was like – it was called on the goal line, and Lamar did a shovel pass to Andrews, and he scored very easily. That's good. But don't be – like, what are they trying to do? Fool somebody? Like, keep it simple. And this is why I was frustrated, but this is why they didn't lose the game. There was scheme involved that left us frustrated and probably is questionable. But happy that Greg Roman is gone. Like I said, I don't like rooting for Jobs to be gone, but my God, Dobbins' comments was telling, and they finally made action about it. Greg Roman had parted ways with the Ravens. Thank goodness. And they're going to look for somebody new. But we're not done, because also had beef with Harbaugh. Uh-oh. At the end of that game, what was with – just keeping your timeout. Like, do the Ravens get, like, money back or incentives if they don't use their timeouts and they keep them? Like, I don't know what the problem is with not using this timeout. Stop time. Like, me and you can't stop time. Like, we're recording and time's ticking away. It's 5:08 in the afternoon. Like, we can't call a timeout. Stop that clock. That clock's continuously running. Call a timeout. Call a timeout. Like, you have over a minute left. Slow the pace down. And you're frantically running around like a no-huddle offense, and you wasted 40 seconds of the clock, and next thing you know, it's 22 seconds left, and they're running stupid plays, and now they got to throw a Hail Mary, and I'm like, and then with the Hail Mary, it almost went into Prochet's hands miraculously somehow.
It did, yeah.
There was a lot of almost in this game, yeah. But again, I questioned the scheme at the end, and I don't even know if he was talked to. I was so mad, I didn't even watch his presser. Like, I'm like, I don't even care what you have to say, because I want somebody to hold accountable. I don't care what you have to say. I want accountability. But the accountability started with Roman being gone, and they're searching for a new coordinator. So there is change to become. And because a lot of folks were like, oh, they're going to keep Harbaugh's buddy Roman, and they're going to probably trade JK because of what he said. I'm like, how did that work out, Mr. Twitter quarterback, armchair quarterback? Because, yeah, JK's still on the team, and Roman's not. So, Brandon, and wrapping this up, the great Ray Lewis – right, actually had something to say about this whole situation, including Lamar Jackson and the coaching and all that. He was recently on his show, the show Inside the NFL, where he's a feature panelist. And there's a new episode streaming this week. You can watch it on Paramount Plus as well, or NFL Plus is the two avenues, as I believe Inside the NFL is on. Ray's comments, and we'll let you listen to the snippet in a minute, and we'll break it down. But his comments are very kind of telling in a sense. And he was in agreement with like some of the coaching changes that he needed to do. And it's something that Steve Young and Bo Steve Smith have been vocal about for the last few years, last couple of years, at least with Lamar and the scheme and the offense. It's like, it's partly Lamar, but then partly not. We'll let you listen to what Ray's had to say, his excerpt about this situation, and me and Brandon will break it down.
The offense that he's been playing in the last 3-4 years with Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator, I always said this, that doesn't fit him, right? It fits him because he has to be Superman, right? He has to make 5 people miss. But Lamar Jackson needs a number one receiver. Lamar Jackson needs help, right? Lamar Jackson, they haven't given Lamar Jackson the opportunity to really throw the ball downfield. Like, let this guy do what I think he does very well.
You don't think they were trying to do that maybe last year and this year, and then the injuries, you know, slowed that progress?
I get it. I understand the injuries, Phil, but I'm just telling you, when you have a player that dynamic, Patrick Mahomes is surrounded around nothing but help. Lamar, we got Mark Andrews. We got a couple of other guys, but we need pieces around Lamar Jackson to help Lamar Jackson.
Well, I think they're going to change it.
Sorry, Brandon, that's the great – Ray Lewis went Inside the NFL. What'd you think? What about his comments?
Ray knows football, and Ray knows what he's talking about. And I was kind of like, I know where he's coming from. Like, the fact that he brought up everything going on with Lamar, and he's saying Lamar's Superman, but the only reason he's Superman is because you're forcing him to be, because you don't give him the tools that he needs. Like, you're... We saw that before. We've seen that in the past. We've seen that with RG3 in Washington. When you force the guy, well, RG3 did it voluntarily. He put everything on his shoulders just because he felt like he wanted to be the star. But putting it on Lamar's shoulders like that, it's you're not doing what's best for your quarterback at that point.
No. And to Ray's point that he was making there is, I've always thought that, you know, yeah, it's partly Lamar and it's partly not, because I've always said it was the schemes. And that's why I mentioned Steve Young and Steve Smith have always been vocal about this. It's the scheme. I've always felt like Lamar, in a sense, has been held back, and it's that offensive scheme that Greg runs. Greg Roman, do you understand that he's a running game specialist? But then you want Lamar to throw it, and everybody's like, oh, well, you got to pass to win in the NFL. We get that. You have to pass the ball to win it. If the Ravens were behind by two touchdowns and against the Bengals, they were only down by one touchdown. But if they were, you can't trust a Lamar or a Tyler or anybody in that system to wing the ball around with the personnel they got. And I get it, right? Their top two receivers on the team are hurt. They're out for the Duvernay. That plays a lot into what the ability they can do, especially to Lamar. Like, what if all three of those are healthy? But all three were healthy, and we've seen a little bits and pieces of it. And what I'm more frustrated about is they were like the – it was like going back to the first year when Roman took over, and obviously Lamar won the MVP, and we went 14-2 that year, won 12 games straight, is – Lamar led the league in passing touchdowns. Like, and what did he come out and do the first game? They didn't come out running the ball 300 yards. He threw five touchdowns against the Dolphins and had a perfect passer rating. Like, there was times in that year where he threw multiple 4 to 5 touchdown games, you know, and started this year 3, 3, and 4, and then tapered off. It's like, kind of like, what the heck happened in week 4 on? Like, did something in the offensive scheme change? Like, that's why I thought about Ray's comments for telling, because and then all about the tools. I agree. Get that guy number one receiver. The Eagles are in the championship game and they have the number one seed. What did they do in the draft? They traded for who? A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Number one receiver. What does Geno Smith have over there in Seattle? D.K. Metcalf. They kept him. It's no secret that obviously, even though the Seahawks needed help, they were a playoff team this year too. They got in.
But the Ravens have tried. You can't say that they haven't. They have tried in the draft twice, Bateman and Hollywood.
Both years. He hasn't played he's going on his third year, man, and he hasn't played a full year yet. And you want to talk about Lamar being hurt? Let's talk about Rashad Bateman. Let's talk about Rashad Perryman before him, who's drafted. Never played a full year and was bad all around anyway. But that's the problem. Like, you can talk about Lamar's injuries and he hasn't finished the year and what money he's worth and all that. But I want to talk about the wide receiver room, which the head coach and the general manager both sat there on the podium and said, we need to address that. That's our number one address. Well, guys, address it. You know, there's already reports out there swirling, and the Ravens, like you said, don't have a lot of draft picks entering this offseason this year. They have less than what they've always been able to work with in years past. But there's a receiver out in Arizona, DeAndre Hopkins, where Hollywood went to. He wants a trade. And us and the Patriots are linked to him via trade. And Ravens are, if not the top team, they're one of the teams and not the top team that's been mentioned around the rumor mills here with the NFL insiders saying, like, Ravens and CBS, NFL and CBS put out there, Ravens are probably one of the best teams to make that pull, that trade-off. Whether they do or not, I don't know what the asking price is. We can explore that a little later. It's fun to talk about, but that's the kind of move you make. Like, they made a trade this season to get Roquan in midseason. You need to make that kind of trade in the offseason. Go get Lamar DeAndre. Like, go get him. Like, don't care what it takes. Like you said, you brought up a good point, which I wholeheartedly agree with. Why not this year better not to part ways with some of those picks because you have less of them? So what are the chances of hitting on one of those rookies that apparently, especially wide receiver, haven't been kind to the team in their history? They're like cursed since day one.
What's the last time they had a wide receiver that worked out that they drafted? Torrey Smith? Is that the last one that they have drafted and worked out for us?
That has to be.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone after him.
No, that's the only one I can think of. And when I say worked out, has remained relatively healthy and
produced
a little bit. Now, he wasn't a true number one in that sense. I mean, you can look at the schemes and look at the personnel that was on the field. But see, in that year, they also had Anquan Boldin complimenting him. So you can call it what it is. Maybe Anquan was number one. Maybe Torrey was number two. I don't know. I have to go back on the depth charts in that year and figure out who was one and who was two at that point. But the Ravens acquired Anquan in free agency I believe Frazier was a trade. Didn't they trade for Anquan?
Yes, they did.
Sorry, yeah, I stand corrected. I knew that. Yeah, he went Frazier. They traded for him. So again, see, they made a move, and it was instrumental in that playoff run because Anquan rose to the occasion and made some incredible plays that year. So this is where the Ravens need to kind of duplicate their process 10 years plus later and go out and get and trade for DeAndre, trade for somebody. Stop bringing in these free agents like DeSean Jackson and these guys that are just over the hill and can't get it done, and just stop. They need to, they really make this trade. And yeah, me and you don't run the team. If it was up to me, I'd make the trade tomorrow, but you know, it's easier said than done. I don't know what the Cardinals asking price is. I haven't even dived into the whole DeAndre trade situation and that. I'm going to do that more so in the next coming weeks, and then maybe gain steam. I don't know, but you're right. They need to make a trade and address the wide receiver room. And the Ravens for mock drafts has already been linked to the, I don't know his name. I have to look it up, but I know he's from TCU. It's the TCU receiver. TCU did make the national championship, got flat out embarrassed against Georgia this year. You know, we'll see, because they're linked to him in the mock draft in the round one. The Ravens, I believe, draft 22nd overall this year. We'll see what they do with that. Didn't even go as far as yet in this offseason to look at how many draft picks and what rounds they do. I don't know if you have that information before you, but I did hear that too, that they have lesser picks memorized as most recent as compared to recent years. So we'll see what they do with it. But I came out of the end of the year press conference with EDC there and Harbaugh. I came out a little bit more refreshed and off the ledge. Like, yeah, I was agitated, disappointed, and deflated from the loss. It took me a few days to kind of digest that, and was like, man, we were so close. We made some mistakes. And going even back to that with the Bengals, the Ravens fought. You know, they had 6 turnovers in 2 games against the Bengals at the end of the year, and the Bengals scored 35 points against the Bengals. What if they didn't turn the ball over, man? We're talking a different tune. That's how close they were. They didn't get walloped. You know, the Bills got walloped. We didn't. We handed it to them. And, you know, I again, you know, going back to the statement, I coming out of that press conference, I felt a lot more at ease. Now we'll see if it's all smoke or they actually mean what they say. But look, if they're 200% chance Lamar's going to be a Raven and EDC's committed to doing the deal and doing what needs to be done, and they want to address the wide receiver room, that's the 3 topics I took away right there. 1, 2, 3. And I have a list here, and I'm going to wait to see if every one of those is checked off. Because if they're not, then we have a commitment problem to doing, you know, backing up what you say. And obviously, we don't know, negotiations could be crazy and it's a business, but I personally, as the fan that I am, I'm holding them accountable because I do pay for a PSL in the stadium. You know, I'm invested, and not to say that people who don't have season tickets or not PSLs are not invested. We're all invested. We're all fans, man. We invest our hard-earned money, our time to watch, our rooting interest. We buy the merchandise. We buy the gear. We go to the games when we do. Me and you spend the time to talk about it on the show. People spend the time to listen. So we're all invested. But to me, I just feel like I'm going to hold them accountable on my end. I hope everybody else does the same, but I feel like I'm going to hold them accountable because, you know, hey, you know, we want changes and we want to see a winnable product because I feel like this team is too talented. They got a championship caliber defense to win now. Let's repatch, revamp the offense, and let's get it moving. Get these guys healthy and let's move. Let's move in the right direction. You know, we can't let the Bengals overtake this division, man. We need to go fight with fire and fire. The Steelers came out of nowhere after being 2-6 this year. The Browns are always going to brown. So Ravens, it's iron sharpens iron. They got to go out and beat them. You have still Josh Allen in the AFC to contend to, and you have Patrick Mahomes in the AFC. Let's go out and get some playmakers, get some tools, as Ray Lewis pointed to, as you said. Let's go out and get some toys, get some tools, get some weapons, and let's go. I'm ready for 2023.
Yeah, there's a lot that will be going on in the offseason. It's going to be a fun one as Ravens fans to see what they're going to do next. I do have faith in the front office and the coaching staff that they will make the right decisions. What do you think will be first? Will they announce an offensive coordinator or will they announce Lamar's contract? Because if you have Lamar locked up, that is quite the coup you have to an offensive coordinator to say you've got one of the best in the NFL to work with here. He's going to be your QB1. But if you don't have Lamar locked up, how do you get that offensive coordinator to come to the team? If it's an outside hire, how do you get them to come to the team without Lamar and saying, like, we're figuring out what we're going to do at QB? Like, what do you think is first?
Oh, I'm right there with you. I think that you got to lock up Lamar to show commitment to the team, to bring in somebody. Because, like, if me and you were being interviewed for OC, would you want the job with all the uncertainty with Lamar? I don't think so. I want to work right. with him. I would be wanting to work with him. I'd be like, hey, I want to coach Lamar and be in this lab and mastermind with all his schemes. And, like, I want to be working with him. Like, to me, I would think you want that piece locked up first before you find an OC. Now, what's even telling with that was the team's comment with Lamar's going to be in on that, like, influential kind of deal. Like, oh, he's going to be in on the search. To Caliber, I don't know what that means. Like, does that mean Lamar handpicks him? I don't think Lamar has the pull or the rank to even suggest. Like, you hear when Brady and Rodgers do their things, right?
Right.
Lamar isn't even close to that level. I don't think he should be given that. But, you know, it's a very interesting thing when they said that. I don't know to what capacity. I don't know if that means, like, the Ravens are going to be like, hey, we're concerning this guy. What do you think? But Lamar did, I think he either tweeted something or retweeted something or quote tweeted something to the effect of, someone mentioned online that under Bobby Petrino in Louisville, Lamar ran a pro-style offense. And apparently he either said yes or 100% or did something with that as a reply. And that's the problem, because we've always said Greg Roman's offense is just basic. How many times did we go over this on the show and me pointing it out on social media? The spacing with the receivers and the non-use of the running game when it mattered. And you want to talk yourself up as this running game guru, but you call these gadget plays that don't even work. And you go away from the talent that needs to be featured when the game is online and when it matters, and when the simplicity of the play calling should easily just tell you, I don't care. Tell the other play, tell the defense in the huddle, we're going to run Gus Edwards, try to stop it. I dare you. Look at the most successful running teams. What comes to mind is Derrick Henry. Like, Titans don't have a passing game. You know Derrick Henry's getting a ball. Can they stop him? Most times they don't get to stop him. He still runs through him 6, 7, 8 yards, maybe even more than that. Like, when you have a good running game and good running backs and good talent, it doesn't matter. You can tell the other team what you're doing. You're going to just move the ball anyway. And I felt like Greg Roman outsmarted him himself, and he's out of a job because of it. And the scheme's it's just too basic. And I don't know what happened, and I don't think we'll ever know. And it's just a rhetorical question out there. I'm not asking you or asking anybody to answer it, but I'm kind of like thinking out loud, what happened in 19 with the schemes and Lamar coming out gangbusters in that year, his first full year, and winning an MVP unanimously. And then all of a sudden, and I get 2020 was hurt, you know, got hurt at the end of the year in the playoff game. And last year, obviously missed time. And this year, injuries don't bode well, but like, there's a disconnect because Lamar was slinging the rock, had 10 touchdowns in 3 games passing. And then you come home to Buffalo, and then it's like they forgot how to – he was timid. He went passing the ball. Like, something was going on there, and I want to know – and it happened the last few years psychologically. Well,
I think Lamar got figured out. I think 2019 – I think 2019 he was this new guy. He was fresh. There wasn't a lot of game tape, and I think people started to study his game. And like you said, if Greg Roman is a basic offensive coordinator – they were able to figure out the schemes pretty well and pretty easily. So I think
when they happen on TV.
Right.
I didn't do it 100% time, but I was probably upwards of 75-90% right when I called, oh, they're going to do this. They did it. I could see it the way they lined up. I watch every game this team does, every play. And when fans pick up, oh, they're going to do a draw play. Oh, they're going to go here. Yeah, he would surprise us and run it with Andrews unexpectedly for a stupid play call. But, like, you're right. It's very basic schemes that I guess – other defenses finally picked up on. You got to wrinkle it. I mean, you hear it all the time on the defensive side of the ball. They were breaking down the Ravens-Bengals matchup, and they were like, Mike McDonald, since the Roquan addition, all that, they were talking about schemes and, like, the Ravens disguise schemes, and sometimes you don't know where they're coming from. Like, you heard that term when even Rex Ryan was defensive coordinator, organized chaos, right? Like, you don't know where the Ravens are coming from with their schemes, and they could be blitzing the backers, but then they drop back coverage, and then this side's blitzing, and the safety drops in on the time. And like, you just don't know. In the offense, you know, you look at, like, the other team's successful, like the Niners, like, they have spacing, like, they're successful, and they're in the title game. They won 12 straight games. Like, why? Something's up. And I would almost, like, I'm going to do it one of these days when I have some time, but I almost want to go back to the highlights of 2019 and watch the receiver spacing and then watch it now, because we've seen it the last few weeks, like it was atrocious. So you're right. Like, you know, was he figured out? Probably as an individual player, but the schemes also play part in that, because if you're running a very basic vanilla elementary high school offense, obviously the NFL defensive coordinators on the opposing teams are going to figure that. But oh, this is easy. He runs 3, 4, 5 formations and calls only 3 plays out of that, and they're always running a shotgun. Of course, it's easy to figure out. But, you know, but here's what I say to that. Lamar needs to up his game and up his talent and rise above that, because Michael Jordan played a long time. And again, I'm not comparing Lamar to Michael Jordan or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. I'm just saying the great ones, it don't matter. You play so long and you never get figured out because your talent level is that good and your game is that good. You're just good. You're great, you know? So it is partly Lamar's talent and his ability to read defenses, but it's also partly the offensive coordinator setting himself up and having the tools and setting the players up in the best position to win for success. You know, like, you know, Lamar and this offense is not built to wing the ball around 300 yards and him to throw 4 or 5 touchdowns a game. Him throwing 3 to 4, that's great. It happens. It's great if he does that. But they need to marry this dynamic running game they got going on here with J.K. Gus and then with the quarterback's ability to break some runs off. But they need to up the passing game and focal point, because the Ravens were what? They were probably in the last – they were probably the last 4 or 5 teams in the league in passing. I guarantee if I look it up, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like 27, 28th or 29th of passing this year. Yeah, they were top 5 in rushing, maybe top 3. But when you have such disparity with your passing and running and where you rank, that's a problem. And when your quarterback is also ranked way lower than some of the other quarterbacks in the league, like a Geno Smith and all that, that's a problem. Because I always feel like, look, Lamar is an athlete. He's talented. We know what he can do. He's done. We've seen him on a Monday night game against the Colts throw for a franchise record over 440 yards. Like the dude, and that was in less than 3 quarters. He can do it. But you got to say it starts with a coach. You got to set himself up. And I feel like it's both. It's Lamar not playing up to snuff, and it's also the coaching. It's a both. And I want an offense coordinator to come in here and work with the guy. You know, like he needs work. He needs growth. He's not there yet, you know, but again, I've always said to put that to rest. I've always said, especially tying with Ray Lewis' comments about the coaching and other players being vocal and other analysts, I've always said, Lamar's a Lamborghini. You can't put reins on a Lamborghini. Let it run. You let it go open. You open up the throttle and let it fly. I've always felt like this offense was just, I've always felt like it was too basic for him. And I would fear that he would leave to go to a better offensive minded team because of they went and fixed the issues here. Now, hopefully, human being gone is one of those issues. We shall see. If they bring in another OC and Lamar's still pedestrian, then we already know it's on 8. Then it's all on 8. But I like to see him married with a better scheme here first, because all we know with Lamar is Greg Roman. So and we'll see. I don't know. I just – we'll see.
They've always been that way on offense. You remember with Joe Flacco, he, after the Super Bowl, he said he constantly wanted to run the shotgun formation, and he never, ever, ever got a chance to do that. He wanted to run it where, you know, you had to keep the defense on their toes. He wanted to be able to be out there and make the calls himself on the field. And
he thrived
right
on that.
Right, and that never happened, never ever happened for him. So that's something that the Ravens have always kind of done. They've always been slow to adapt or change their offense.
When that you're right. I've been frustrated with that with Flacco's scheme. That's a good point, man. Now what's the constant on that? Harbaugh's been the constant since then. So we'll see.
That's true. So
he's not out of the doghouse yet either, man. He needs to step it up, or he's gone. I wish I was making the executive decisions around here.
So the next deadline they have for Lamar's contract is the franchise tag, and that deadline is March 7th. So they kind of have, you know, a little over a month to kind of figure everything out. If they can't get a contract signed by March 7th, they have to use a franchise tag, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens, whether they use the exclusive or non-exclusive contract franchise tag, I should say. So that'll be very telling, but hopefully we're doing a show in the next week or so or couple weeks where we have an answer of what they're going to do with Lamar Jackson. But right now it's all up in the air, and it's, you know, the NFL never stops. Our season on the field might be over, but this offseason. They've got contracts. They've got the draft coming up. You know, we already know the opponents for next year. Things are constantly moving in the NFL. So it will be very interesting to see what happens next. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Absolutely, we did. It was a big show for us, a good way to end the year. And I think we covered it front to back. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
Wrapping all right, up guys. 22. What's that? Finish that off. I couldn't hear.
Wrapping up 2022.
Very good. All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is go over and check out our Discord. We are still being active over on our Discord during the off season. Discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Join our server. Be a part of the conversation over there. It's the off season. Josh and I still need to talk, but we maybe do a couple special live shows over there in the off season to just kind of catch up on things. You know, news is kind of slow coming out, so we will definitely be over and active over on our Discord. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, rate us over on Spotify, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok and Hive and anywhere you're social on the web. I don't even know if there's any more out there. MySpace, yeah, all that good stuff. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's it for the show this week. I'm guessing that we will be back Super Bowl week, and we have some Baltimore Ravens news to talk about that week because ESPN will be putting out their new 30 for 30, the Bullies of Baltimore, about the Baltimore Ravens 2000 Super Bowl team. That airs on February 5th at 8:30. It's a Sunday night. Josh and I will be back the week after, maybe to do a little recap on the documentary and then kind of preview the Super Bowl as well. So look for a new show beginning of February. But until then, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, good plug for the Bullies of Baltimore, and I can't wait to bring it back to the heydays, man, our first ever championship. And that defense was nasty, and it set the precedent in Baltimore for years to come still to this day. We're all about defense, man. Defense and championships. Defense always wins championships. Defense is mean. It's nasty. It's gritty. It fits the Ravens. It fits the North. And I can't wait to see that documentary out there for the Bullies of Baltimore. Looking forward to that leading up to
Although, I got to cut you off there. Did you watch the trailer?
I did.
Why is the camera so low? Like, they're doing these interviews with Tony Siragusa and Ray Lewis, and it's like they're leaning over the camera. I thought that was such a weird angle. Why is it so low?
Well, it's used the tech and the camera guy and the edit guy. Yeah, you would go there, wouldn't you? I recognized it, too. I just had to say more so because you're the guru when it comes to that. but, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was just for the effects of the show. I don't know if the whole episode will be like that or if that's just the way they did that certain footage, but it was interesting. I'll just tell you that. I don't know if I would have went with that, but look, you know, we're not on their production crew and they're putting it out there. So for our enjoyment, I'm just going to just go along with the ride, but I don't know. I wasn't a fan of it, but I definitely noticed it, but we'll see. But I can't wait. I can't wait for the episode to come out, and I'm sure it'll be a nice little, they put it on the Sunday before the Super Bowl at 8:30, so it'll be a nice little palate cleanser, especially for Ravens fans. I know a lot of football fans will probably still be chiming in on it, but for us Ravens fans, it's going to be a good homage to relive those days and the glory days of our first ever championship here in Baltimore. And, you know, God rest his soul, Tony Siragusa was a big part of that. And, you know, still our thoughts and prayers are with the Siragusa family this year. For how this year started with the tragic passing of the great Tony Siragusa for the Ravens, and the Super Bowl champion that he was. But you know, it's a wrap. Me and Brandon, you know, thank you for being with us on the call for a 2022 season. We've been doing this for 11 seasons. It's hard to believe we're embarking on our 12th. It's amazing the run we've been on, and we're going to continue the run. And you know, I want to really thank everybody involved for this year, for making this year special, starting with John and Jimmy Seafood, for partnering with us for episode 300. You know, I want to give a shout out to you guys. We always love you guys and love everything you do and support everything you do and appreciate you giving it back to us and supporting our show and giving us some love there. And, you know, the gracious gift back then with the charitable donation, man, we can't say thank you enough for starting the journey this year, embarking on a 2022 season, starting off great with that and being featured. So we thank you for that. I want to thank the Boys and Girls Club and Rock and Protein and the opportunity for us to, you know, interview Mark Andrews and Mark in his time, in his charitable donations there to the Boys and Girls Club and giving back to community. Certainly want to say thank you for that. And thank you for to the Maryland Food Bank, Campbell's Chunky and Clayus Campbell for allowing us to be part of that charity event as well and giving back to the community in that regard. It's always great with the Feeding America initiative and for Clayus and his time to be featured on the call. So we did a lot of great things this year, Brandon, and we're hoping next year for a revamp. And certainly want to give a shout out to one of my great friends, Mike Dove, and his business, Wheatfish. You know, out of the goodness of his heart, we didn't ask him to, but he is a graphic designer, loves what he does. He has a creative mind. He's a creative genius, has a rocking business, and he did some game day graphics for us, and we've been featuring that. Can't say thank you enough to Mike, and Mike's been instrumental of trying to help us get in the right direction media-wise on the social medias. And just wanted to spill the beans. We got some new things planned for you next year. We're going to revamp. We're looking to revamp a call website, the call podcast website. We're looking to revamp the social medias. We're going to make some changes here, all for the good. We're going to have the partnership and the backing with Wheatfish and Mike's help to be a part of that. And, you know, he's a very busy guy, but, you know, Mike, we appreciate you and what you did and did for us this year. And what you're going to continue to do for us in partnering. I know I shared some things with you, Brandon, some things he put together. I know you were impressed with it. So,
he does great work. Yeah. All the game day stuff has been fantastic. It's been really cool. And I love everything about the work he's done so far. It's been awesome.
Absolutely. So, 2023 is going to be a year that, you know, it's changes for the good. We're going to revamp some things and, looking forward to another great year and seeing what more guests we can have. And hopefully that's not the end of our guests on the call, man. We got blessed this year, starting with Jimmy's and finishing with Clayus and putting Mark Andrews there as well. Again, the blessings are just coming, and we appreciate every single one of you being supportive and listening to the call. And with that, we embark on our off season. It's going to be one for the ages because we have this big contract situation looming. Lamar is polarizing. You know, it's got the fan base split. You know, do we keep him? Do we sign him? Do we let him go and trade him and get some a King's ransom in return? And what do we do? But we heard it. The Ravens are committed to sticking with him, and they're going to make some changes. And we have a coaching spot to fill, and it's going to be changes. But everybody, you know, I've always said with the Raven fan mentality, it's ride or die. You know, you might not like the head coach. You might not like the personnel decisions or the players that design or something like that. But at the end of the day, we can certainly be critical and vocal about that. We can choose not to support. We cannot go to games. But at the end of the day, I'm going to choose to plead purple and black and trust the process. And look, they're going to make the decisions that they feel like is best for the state of the franchise. And Steve Bisciotti's got to stand behind that and endorse that in EDC, and everybody's be held accountable. But we as fans, we just want a winnable product. We want a winning product on the field. We want the Ravens to get their best foot forward. Injuries always play a bad part in that, and we understand it's something that's out of anybody's control. But look, see what happens this all season. Can't wait to break it all down with every step of the way. Of every breaking news Ravens wise, we're going to be here to put out a show, talk about it, and be about it. Everybody on board. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, everybody flock. Let's have about it. Let's go in the off season. Let's wear our heads high. How about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.